God. I'm Colin Hoogerwerf, the producer of the show. I have two boys, and when my older was still pretty young, about one, and just learning to talk and still sitting in a high chair, he used to occasionally find a little bit of food that had dropped down beside him, and he'd lift it up and hold it in the air and say, "Bonus!" That's kind of what today's episode is. So you might know we recently launched a big podcast series about food called The Gift of Food. It's 5 episodes long. You can find it in the feed right above this. The way these series work is that we do a bunch of interviews, in this case about 15 different interviews, and we end up talking about a bunch of stuff, and sometimes only a few minutes actually makes it into our produced episodes. But there's a lot more great stuff that happens in those conversations. So we wanted to bring you some of that, the extra bits that deserve a little love. This one is from a conversation with Shauna Nyquist. Shauna is an author of a bunch of books, including one called Bread and Wine. The subtitle to that is A Love Letter to Life Around the Table. In the last episode of the food series, she talked about some of the ways that food and gathering around a table can bring people together in ways that go beyond just the physical presence of being in the same room. When we talked to her, she told us the story of the Friday happy hours that she's been participating in for several years, and she gave some advice about a really approachable way of bringing people together around food. So here's Shauna from her interview with me and Jim. We'll have a few more of these coming out in following weeks. There just seems to be something about food that gathers people and that allows people to come together in ways that doesn't happen without food. Can we just start there? You want to reflect on that or have any stories that...
Or why do you think that is? Yeah, that food has this place?
Well, you know, I think there are, you know, a lot of different reasons for that. But one of the things, when I think about why it's so important to gather, and why food tends to be such a central gathering point, there's something so related to memory and history and tradition that is so connected to all of our food lives, right? So when you sit down at a table, you think about the home you were raised in. You think about the ethnic or national or global background of your own food experience and flavors. You think about sometimes the traditions of the place where you happen to live or used to live. And when I think about this, so we live now in New York City, and we live among a group of people who largely are not native New Yorkers. Almost everyone who are in our little corner of the city are transplants from other countries or other cities. And so one of the things that I have appreciated most about our time here is that we've had an opportunity to get to know each other through sharing our traditions. And one of the ways that we did this in a way that was so special to me is we have this Friday night happy hour. It's just like a very loose, very standing gathering. There are a lot of reasons I love it, but one of them is it's a really kind of easy, low barrier to entry. Anyone can show up. You're not feeding people a full formal meal. All that to say, I can tell you all the reasons I love it. I'm happy to talk about it. But last winter, I started the regular weekly text chain, "Hey, happy hour, who's around?" And my neighbor Jamie jumped in and she said, "This might be too much. This might sound crazy, but it's the Chinese New Year. And I'm Chinese American, and I would normally be with my family, but they're not coming in town this year. I'm not going back home to Orange County. Would you feel comfortable celebrating the Chinese New Year with me if I teach you how?" And I mean, I have chills just talking about it. We put a lot of time and effort into preparing for it. And what I mean is we asked a lot of questions. "Jamie, what do we do? What do we need? Where do we order in from? Why do we do this? Why do we do that?" And so what ended up happening was several families on a rainy Friday night got together, and Jamie taught us about what it's like to be a Chinese American in New York City, and what it was like to be a Chinese American woman in Orange County, and what her family in Singapore experienced, and why red is significant, and why walnuts are significant, why a whole fish is significant, why elders give money to children, why there are so many layers of this beautiful holiday has cultural significance around the world for so many Chinese people. And we just didn't know anything about it. And so Jamie bravely invited us into this celebration, but it wouldn't have happened without food. And now I think about my Chinese American friends and neighbors in a really different way. I have a little tiny connection to their culture and what matters to them and how they celebrate and mark moments. And so I think, you know, I could literally talk all day about how food connects us. But I think the way that it represents our traditions and our histories is a really important starting point for this conversation.
Can you talk a little bit more about Friday night happy hours? What, because some of this, what I'd love for people to get out of this is a little bit of practical how-to. And some of us might think, you just go and knock on your neighbor's door and invite them, or what? How did it come about, and what do you actually do as part of it?
Yes, and I love to talk about this. I'm so excited about it. So we live in Manhattan on the grounds of an Episcopal seminary. And what that means is that it's a little bit like a college campus, but we're all grownups. And some of us have an affiliation with the seminary and some of us don't. Some just moved in. Some have lived here for a long time. Some we've known for a long time. Some we literally don't know at all. But during the pandemic, as you may remember, you know, New York had among the strictest lockdown and quarantine requirements. And so for many months, we couldn't go in each other's apartments. You could eat out in these, like, you know, sheds built out into the street, but you couldn't be in each other's spaces. And so when springtime came and we could finally go outside a little bit, we started gathering for happy hour. And it literally just started with, like, I had this picnic blanket. It's about the size of a king size comforter. It's enormous. And I would put it on the lawn and I would just text a handful of friends and say, you know, I've got popcorn and apples and a bottle of wine. Bring whatever you have. And someone else would say, well, I've got, you know, half a baguette and some cheese. I mean, it was very loose. But if you remember back in those days, how extremely precious it was to look someone in the eye, to sit near to them, to listen to people talk in person. You know, we were a family of four in a very small apartment, but we had lots of friends nearby who were totally alone during that time, who wouldn't see another person or talk to another person face to face for days at a time. And so those happy hours became a very precious, almost sacred time of, like, we finally get to be human to human. Someone gets to look you in the eye and listen to you and give you, like, just a very motley little collection of snacks and, you know, maybe half a glass of wine if we're lucky. But it turned into something, it kind of took on a life of its own. And now it's a standing Friday night. There are, you know, 15 or 20 people on the text chain. And it's always the more the merrier. Bring something to share. It's a very much like a loaves and fishes situation. There's always enough, but it's always kind of weird.
No longer on your picnic blanket.
Sometimes we actually still do the picnic blanket. Yeah. If it's cold, we'll, you know, like cram into my apartment or someone else's apartment. But if it's nice, we stay out as long as we can. And a couple of the reasons that I like it, it's a standing invitation. So you don't do the scheduling, like, let's do Tuesday at noon. Let's do Wednesday at 7. Let's do, no. It's always Friday at 5:30-ish. I always say I'm the captain, not the host. And that's a really important difference. I'm not inviting someone into my house to sit around my table where there's that temptation to meet their every need. It's like, hey, meet on the lawn, fend for yourself. I put out the picnic blanket as sort of an anchor. Then we pull up chairs around it. So I'm a convener, but I'm not necessarily responsible for all of it. And you're not responsible for a whole meal. A lot of people, I think, feel very stressed out, and I understand why, about the difficulty of feeding a whole meal to a group. But this is not that. This is, like, just enough to take the edge off your hunger before dinner. You know, some people are going to a show later, or they have dinner reservations, or they have a date. Some people have little kids. They need to start, like, the bed and bath time routine. This is just that check-in point, very low. I keep saying it's a low lift for everyone. So it's not scary. You're not committing to spending 6 hours with people you don't know. You're not feeding them four courses. You're just coming for, like, a glass or two of wine and maybe some good cheese. And keeping those expectations low helps people jump in who I think otherwise would be like, no, I'm not showing up to that. That feels scary. So both as the host and the guest, it keeps you, it keeps the barrier to entry very low. And what we've found, so I would never say that this is where we tell our deepest, darkest secrets. This isn't where we solve the world's problems. This isn't where we talk about the very hard things we're carrying. But it's the connection point where you make a coffee to talk about that hard thing one-on-one. It's someone seeing you and updating you. It feels a little bit like an extended family gathering, where you're just checking in with everybody around the circle, and everybody can get back in each other's orbits enough to take the next step toward relationship.
There you have it from our interview with Shauna Nyquist. The food series, The Gift of Food, is in the feed just above these episodes. Language of God is produced by BioLogos. It has been funded in part by the Fetzer Institute. Fetzer supports a movement of organizations who are applying spiritual solutions to society's toughest problems. Get involved at Fetzer.org. And by the John Templeton Foundation, which funds research and catalyzes conversations that inspire people with awe and wonder. And BioLogos is also supported by individual donors and listeners like you who contribute to BioLogos. Language of God is produced and mixed by Colin Hugerwerf. That's me. Our theme song is by Breakmaster Cylinder. BioLogos offices are located in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in the Grand River watershed. If you have questions or want to join in a conversation about this episode, find the link in the show notes for the BioLogos Forum, or visit our website, biologos.org, where you'll find articles, videos, and other resources on faith and science. Thanks for listening.